I'm Cream Ray, your host at the One Soccer Nation podcast. Today I have the pleasure of interviewing Bob Humphreys. Bob is the founder of Think to Win, and he is also a sports consultant. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time today. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Kieran. And how are you? Okay. Pleasure to be with you today. Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. A little bit under the weather here, but we're pushing through the day. I had a podcast before with Coach Stanford. They're doing some pretty cool stuff, and now this is the second podcast wrapping up the day. But excited to have you on and learn more about what you're doing today.
Yeah, sure. Today actually is quite interesting because one of the things I've been looking at actually and getting into quite a bit of detail with is the whole area of coach education. Because, you know, even in Europe with the UEFA badges, in North America as well, I'm in Canada and I've been looking at the Canadian coaching license badges as well. I believe, you know, this comes from many, many hours of working with coaches back in the UK. One of the things that I'm sort of trying to promote with the federations or with directly with clubs as well is the fact that, and it's not mandatory at all, it's purely voluntary if the coach wants to learn a little bit more about some of the psychological pieces, if you like, attached to being a coach. So, for example, I mean, in the UK, I would get many, many coaches, especially at the academy level, at the younger youth soccer level, coming up to me saying, "Look, Bob, they're just not listening to me. What's going wrong? You know, we've gone through the plan. Everybody's nodded in the locker room. We go out there, and then they don't listen. They're doing their own thing." And I used to get asked quite a number of times, could you come and sit in the locker room and just observe, you know, the pre-match talk, the halftime talk, or whatever it is. And it was noticeable because, you know, no, majority of coaches tend to use the tactics board or they used to use the analysis screens. So they're quite visual. And the human brain, basically, you know, we have our own internal representation system of the world. It could be visual. I mean, I'm very visual. It has to be pictures for me. It could be audible. You know, some of the guys sitting in the locker room still got the headsets on. They're still getting into the zone with their music or whatever they're listening to. And then you've got the kinesthetics. And the kinesthetics, a million miles away, still playing with their boots, still playing with the shin pads, and you know, just all the tactile stuff. So I worked with coaches, really. We said, well, look, we're going to find out, is it the delivery of the message is the problem? You know, is that what's not getting through? And to do that, you've got to understand the internal thinking process of that particular individual. So anyway, I looked at all the coaching badges that are around in UEFA, for anything from the C badge right up to the pro badges as well. And I've spoken to many, many coaches over there in Europe and now starting to talk to coaches here in North America. And what you're finding is that, and quite rightly too, is that predominantly the coaching badge or the coaching license is around the technical side of the game, and it should be. I fully agree, it should be. But what I'm offering is just some additional workshops that would go on top of the coaching badges to allow the coach to understand some of the psychology pieces, if you like, to understand certain questions that you can ask somebody that will make you understand what their internal thinking process is like. And, you know, how, if I'm very visual, how do I connect with a kinesthetic guy? Because it's like a red light against a green light, for example. And how do you change your personality, or how do you change your direction message, if you like, so that it can actually go through. So at the moment, actually, here in I've been working, obviously, in the UK, we've still got the Third Eye International Sports Consultancy people. So I'm still a mindset consultant with these guys. And we've been doing a lot of work there, promoting Third Eye, if you like, into North America. And it's starting to get momentum. We're starting to get some interest there, especially in the soccer world. Basketball has been another sport, obviously, they've been doing quite a lot in Europe with as well. And I've been working with some colleagues over here now. We're looking at a new venture where One, obviously, I can offer this additional coaching as part of the coaching badges. And I wouldn't say it's coaching, it's more like, informal workshops. Let's go and do some workshops with them. And we can do this stuff online today as well. So I've had some good feedback coming in from two or three of the provisional heads of coaches and head of coaching education, and also the Federation here. I've spoken to them last week as well. They're mulling it over to see if it would be worth them, putting on an additional workshops for their coach education courses. So yeah, it's been quite busy at the moment. As you can tell from the accent, I'm not from these shores, so it's been quite new for me. And obviously, it's getting the name out there is part of the thing. So it's the marketing and the PR really that you've got to do at the moment. But yeah, busy times, busy times.
Understood. So, Bob, in regards to, body language, why is body language so important? What's the importance of body language?
Right, body language, interesting. There's various studies on, what percentage of human communication is non-verbal. I mean, if you go back to the old sort of, I suppose it's sort of mid-80s, 80s days, really, out of Berkeley University, they did some studies there. And they used to talk about the 55% of communication is non-verbal. 38% is tone of voice, okay, the vocal side, if you like, and only 7% is the words. I like to think of it more of a 60-40, really. So 60% really of a human's communication for me is non-verbal. And then we've got this mix. We've got this mix of vocal and verbal. So the vocal would be very much, the tone of voice, the cadence, for example, the pitch, and then really mixed with the words that are in there. So body language to me is, and I took a course, I suppose, when I first arrived in North America, I took a course with some body language experts who basically had an online training course. And I just found this subject fascinating, and I've got books on it now. I've read many books. There's guys in Canada that I've been talking to as well, in Toronto, who are body language experts, renowned body language experts as well. And it's fascinating because it goes back a lot of the time. It goes back to what we some people call the reptilian brain, which is just a little piece of the brain at the top of the spinal cord, which was the first part of the human brain that evolved, if you like. And this goes back to the days when we were still slumming around in swamps and we hadn't learned to get onto our legs or anything. And it's interesting because that piece of that brain, even though the human brain's evolved over many, many hundreds of thousands of years, that piece of the brain still kicks in today. So it's basically comes out with what we call the limbic system, which is, fight or flight. Is this guy going to be friendly, or is he something that I should run away from? Is it a fight there? And that piece comes in all the time. But the problem is that the caudal frontex part of the brain actually is now starting to develop more data, because we need to get more data. If I first meet somebody, I think, and we all like it. If you imagine you go to a party even, or you go to a social event, and you'll find that you get introduced to somebody, you've probably made a judgment pretty quick. Do I like this guy? Don't I like him? Are we going to get on, or aren't we going to get on? It's interesting, really, by body language. Okay, you can pick it up unconsciously. The unconscious side of the brain will pick it up immediately. We've all done presentations. We've all been to presentations. Well, I'm sure we have, where it's been very informative, but actually hasn't really turned me on in terms of do I believe the guy? He's saying a lot of words, but words can be heard, but they've got to be believed and trusted. And you can do that, and I've been working with coaches on this one, by simply delivering your message, but delivering your message in an open gesture fashion. And by doing that, unconsciously to the listener, you're going to pick it up straight away. Yes, I believe the words. Yes, I think I could trust this guy, and yes, I could go into battle with him if you like. So, body language for me, vitally important, absolutely important. Worked in England with some players on this as well. One of the clubs, one of the academies, I've bore you too much with it, but one of the academies I was working with invited me up for one of their FA Youth Cup games, and they were playing Arsenal. They were playing one of the top teams, and this is a lower division team. And one of the things that I put forward to the coach, I said, "Well, from the moment they go out there for the warm up, okay, tell them I don't want them looking at the opposition. Don't even make eye contact with them, okay? And don't even look at them." And then went out for the warm up. It was interesting to watch from the stand, looking down, because the Arsenal guys were all looking over. They're all looking over, they're looking at their players, they're looking at who's going to come out, who's being picked, who's in the team. They know each other, obviously. Our guys just kept their eyes straight forward, looking at their coaches and just did their warm ups. Okay. What happened? What happened? They beat them, they won, you know? And that was almost the psychological game, if you like, to say, yeah, we know you're bigger than us, we know you're better than us, actually. But I'm not going to show that nervousness, if you like, in my body language to you. I mean, if they've made eye contact over there, bang, the Arsenal guys would have picked it up straight away. But you know, we've worked with a lot of youngsters with this one. The people I like to work with actually is the coaches, because it's the coaches on how they deliver that message, and they can. And if you just keep in the top of your head here, 60% of what I'm doing, I don't even open my mouth. It's non-verbal. So for me, yeah, vitally important, not just in sport, but in any walk of life.
Absolutely. That's I'm learning something new here, lots of things. In regards to, communication being 60% nonverbal to 40% communication, that's pretty powerful. With saying that, with all your experience, expertise, and teachings, what has been the most impactful experience for you where you've taught a coach, and you said, wow, it really worked out?
Good question, actually. I mean, there was two clubs in England actually that I worked with, and they used to invite me down to their coach education days, okay? And this could be the volunteers as well. So this is anything from the under eights up to the under 18s, you know? And they used to invite me down there really just to do some workshops, talk about psychology, talk about mirror and matching people, and what have you. And how do you deal with confidence with a player and motivational issues and things like this. And it was interesting because it was there that I tried my questionnaire. So I put these set of questions together, basically to find out, what makes the guy tick, okay? And external behavior is pretty easy. We can pick that up quite easy. Are they introverted, extroverted? We can normally pick that up just through external vision. We can see that straight away. But the internal processing and the internal thinking process, we don't know. We don't know how to communicate with them. So I put these set of questions, and I wouldn't say they're psychometric questions, really. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just A or B. If you were in this particular situation, how would you behave, A or B? And by doing that, the coach can then find out a little bit about, what's going on inside. Are they a judger? Are they a perceiver? Are they an intuitor type? Are they very sensory? There's a lot of sensory type. So by doing that, the coach will then get a result at the end of the questionnaires. And I put a matrix together on saying, well, look, if it comes out at this particular score, this is how you would interact with him. Okay. And this is how you could actually get a very much close rapport with these people. But these two clubs tried it, and we tried it as an experiment to start off with. And they tried it for about 2 weeks. And this was for the training schedules and for matches as well. And the feedback that came back was phenomenal. phenomenal. They saw changes literally straight away, not just results on the pitch, but even off the pitch, a much closer rapport with the playing staff, and even between coach and coach as well, because they would do it themselves. And immediately they think, well, with this player A, I know exactly how to interact with him. Totally different on how I would interact with player B, for example. So it really helped them in terms of delivering the pre-match talk, the tactics that they were going to use, the formation that they were going to use, what they were going to do for their training drills on those particular days. And it helped them really interact with the player. So yeah, we saw some results immediately, actually. And this is one of the things that I've been really sort of trying to push over here since I've arrived in Canada as well. Is and again, it's purely voluntary. I mean, there's no way I would turn around and force people or anything like that to do, because it's completely up to them. But if a coach feels that he just wanted to extend his skill set, if you like, then I believe that this would add a tremendous amount of value to them if they can really understand how to interconnect with these people. And more importantly, the non-verbal communication when you're delivering the message.
Understood. Why the switch from location from UK to Canada? And Bob, the other thing too is Canada doesn't have a football culture like England. We got a soccer culture that's still growing slowly but surely. But why the switch?
Why the switch? I sometimes ask myself that, because it's mighty cold outside, I can tell you. It really came down to personal family things, actually. It was a family business. My wife actually was offered a position over here in Canada. My children thought, well, let's try it. And I'll be honest with you, we came over in, when did we come over? September 2021. We thought, well, let's give it a year. We're going to give it a year and see, what as an experience, just to see what it's like. So we came over, and I'll be honest with you, the first 6 months was difficult. It was very difficult, not so much from the work front, but for the cultural difference, actually, if you want me to be honest with you, it's a major cultural difference. And the first winter that we had over here, I've never experienced temperatures like that before, as low as that. Children, yeah, my son sort of took a long while to settle. We had a family meeting after 6 months, and we were that close thinking, we tried it, let's go home. And we said, well, look, let's at least give it a year. Let's go right through the seasons and see what it is. We get to the end of the year, everybody's settled. Everyone liked it. The kids are settled in school. My wife's work's going well. I'm getting the Think to Win name out there now, and I hooked up with the Third Eye guys as well, and the guys down in New York for the analysis tools as well. So things are starting to happen. They were quite settled, actually. Soccer, it is not what I was expecting. Okay, I mean, it is much smaller. I think if I came over here as an ice hockey player, it would be totally different. But hockey is obviously the number one over here in Canada. It's the tip-top sport. But it's a challenge, and I think, if I look at this country, it's an interesting country. Okay, but this hasn't got the population of the USA. It hasn't got the population of the UK. But in terms of land mass, it's the second largest country in the world. Okay, a lot of it is uninhabitable in the north, but if we look at it. And I talk to the people involved in soccer here. And these people are passionate. They're absolutely passionate. They put their heart and soul into promoting this sport. Okay? And I see that as a nice challenge, and I want to work with them. I want to work with them. If you look at sports, certainly if you look at sport here in Canada, hockey, expensive. It's very expensive because of all the kit and the gear that a youngster's got to have. I mean, I'm a big supporter of youth sport, grassroots sport. And it's not cheap for them to go out and start playing ice hockey. Football, as we know, across the world, around the world, football can be played by anyone. You know, what do we need? We need a ball. We don't, we just need a bit of waste ground. We don't even need goalposts. We can put jumpers down for goalposts, you know. So football is accessible. Oh, sorry, I keep calling it football. Apologies to the North Americans, soccer. Okay, I keep calling it, you know, calling it soccer. I must get used to that one. But it's accessible for anybody. Any youngster can go out there with their friends, get a group of friends, go to the park and play football, soccer. Sorry, say that again. It's, you know, it's a challenge here, I think. And I've gone in with a couple of colleges here in Quebec as well, and a couple of colleges that have actually got very big sports departments as well. And soccer's very popular. It's very popular amongst the students, you know. If we go down across the border into the USA, we're starting to see. Well, I mean, a lot of kids are playing football out there now. You know, they're playing soccer every week, and there's new clubs coming up all the time. There's new leagues coming out as well, and this could be anything from just the recreational games through to elite leagues. Elite leagues, it's new to me, I'll be honest with you. It's a cultural difference here, because we just don't have that in the UK. You know, these elite leagues are pay to play type environment that you have in the US and in Canada actually now as well, is a little bit new to me. So I've got to get used to that difference, you know, and it's just purely cultural differences. Okay. But yeah, no, it's Canada. I like it. It's a lovely country. It's a beautiful country, actually, and it's mighty cold though.
Sure, definitely more cold than the UK. With saying that, AI, you know, artificial intelligence has been a big thing now in our day and age. There's a lot of new technology being pushed at the same time, very fast. I was, you know, the call that I was just on, I just learned about a new AI tool called Liar Liar. And do you know about it?
Oh, I don't
No.
actually know.
So basically, you could have it running while we're on this Zoom call, and it'll detect the consistency, if the person's lying or not, their attention with their eyes, their heartbeat. I'm not too sure how accurate this technology is, but it was so cool. I was just showing it today, and when I'm thinking about body language, I'm like, that AI tool is doing some of that, right? Through a Zoom call, right? It could do that. So it's a You know, it's pretty interesting. The reason why I bring that up is because the transition into my next question is because, you know, I was going to ask you if you use any AI tools in regards to body language or if there's any such thing.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Actually, I mean, one of the things when I'm, I'm part of my practice is body language instructing as well. And one of the things is the eyes. The eye cues are very important, okay? Blink rates and things like that. More for a sort of interrogation-y type stuff, but generally speaking, where the eyes go, you know. So, for example, you know, if I'm thinking back to the days when I was in the UK, like I was just telling you now, my eyes are going up, you know, they're going up to, or they're going down here as well, or up to the memory side of the brain, if you like, to extract the information again. The IQs are very important. I mean, you know, if we look at it, if they go up to the other side, okay, then it tends to be where we're trying to make an imaginary picture, if you like. Now, and I use them a lot when we're doing the psychology piece, especially with a player that's suffering from confidence, for example, because there's got to be a time when he was confident, you know, if he's a striker, he's just having a goal drought at the moment, you know. The confidence can drop very quickly. And you've played football, Kieran, you know what it's like. You can have highs, you can have lows. And it's how do you handle the loads? And that's where I'm looking at the facial expressions, okay? And that's where I'm also looking at where the breathing is coming from as well. Because when somebody's stressed, if you get anxiety, think where you're breathing is very shallow and it's coming from high up in the chest. Not that I'm big into the meditation stuff, but the breathing exercises are vital. to handle that anxiety. And you can tell with the blink rates because, if we're getting stressed in some way, obviously there's more oxygen being pumped around the blood, being pumped around the body. So we tend to find that the saliva in your mouth, for example, will dry up. All the cold sweat start coming out, okay, and the eyes dry up, okay. So when the eyes dry up, of course, the blink rate's going to go crazy. You're going to be blink, 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 blink. And that's what I'm looking out for. That if I see somebody suffering from a little bit of stress or anxiety. The other things as well, with body language, we have these things like adapters. I mean, we all use them. One of the things that I like to put to bed straight away when I'm doing a body language course is somebody crossing their arms doesn't mean it's a barrier. It's not doesn't mean it's a barrier at all. Okay. It might just be very comfortable to put your arms like this. What you're looking at is the fingers. Okay. Because if there's tight, then there's a problem. Okay. Then there may be a barrier coming up. I'm also looking out for the breathing, where the breathing's coming from. And also the mouth is very important. What they call lip pursing, or we get licking of lips. Licking of lips, again, the mouth's dry. The stress has come in, okay? And it usually goes with the blink rate as well. So we're looking at things like, barriers, adapters, illustrators. I mean, I'm a big illustrator where you use your hands all the time and open gestures. So you're illustrating the words that you're trying to say. And it's interesting when you're talking to people because, and not just in sport, but even in a business environment, okay? If you're especially in a negotiation environment, look out for the illustrators because the illustrators have got to be in time with the words. If the words come first and then the illustrator's coming afterwards, there's something a little bit wrong there. You need to do a bit more digging around. So I like to teach people, the main concepts. Gestures, obviously, is a big one. Facial expressions is huge. The shoulders are important. Well, we all do shoulder shrugs. Okay? I don't know. I don't know. When you get a one shoulder shrug, tends to feel that there's a little bit of not believing what you're saying. Okay? There's a little bit of I wouldn't say not arrogance, but it's a little bit of defiance, if you like, so what? So what? So you're looking out for that with players because then you can train the coach on how what to look out for. I mean, we're only humans, we make mistakes. Players are going to make mistakes, okay? And this is something I think we have to do a lot of education with parents around as well. Educate the parents that kids are going to make mistakes out there. The goalkeeper is going to drop the ball, or he's going to miss an open goal. It just happens. So it's no good bawling and shouting at this kid because actually, what's going to happen is going to turn them off even more. So it's about getting, I mean, with youth soccer, getting the children to discuss amongst themselves as well. But yeah, body language, eye movements, facial expressions, vitally important, and that's some of the things I do in the workshops as well.
That's amazing. Well, Bob, I know you do so much, you help with so much, and the work that you do is very intriguing and very inspiring as well. I really appreciate the works that you do in regards to like body language. Like I didn't go to school for that, but I've studied it. I mean, I guess I could say studied. I've learned it through YouTube, through books, reading, a bit of psychology, body language. Negotiations. So all these skills, they definitely help. And when you tell that story in regards to Arsenal versus Everton, the Everton players not paying attention, giving any energy, any eye contact with the other team, and how that helped them win, those are powerful tools that people, could use off the field as well and use in business, use whatever they want to apply to, even if that's, finding a girlfriend.
Absolutely right. I mean, yeah, it's interesting actually, Kieran, because my mentors, if you like, I mean, there's four guys, they're ex-military and ex-law enforcement type guys as well. But I mean, I've just got all of their books. And I got into this stuff, I suppose. I mean, we touched on it a little bit when we were doing psychology work, okay? We're looking at 50%, 55%, 38%, 7%, you know, especially in NLP, they were doing this. And so I got into a little bit about IQs and the memory side of the brain, the kinesthetics and all the rest of it, and how you could mirror and match that person. And then I suppose it was about, oh God, just before we came over here, around during the COVID lockdown, actually, I started reading a lot of books on this stuff because I was getting fascinated. And there's umpteen authors out there that, and I'd be more than happy to make recommendations to some of your viewers. But some of these guys, they were fantastic. I mean, there's a British guy actually down in Toronto. He wouldn't mind me mentioning his name, Mark Bowden. And Mark Bowden's got this thing that he calls the truth plane. Okay. And again, it comes all from this millions and millions of years of the brain's evolution. And the truth plane is literally about where, you know, your open gesture. Okay. You've got the grotesque plane. You know, where we might go to a presentation, these grotesque plain arms down by the side. Yeah, the words might be coming out, but are they really being believed by the audience? You know, so it's about using a lot of gestures and open gestures. Yeah, Mark Bowden, fantastic. I mean, I recommend his books to anybody. I've read so many of his books. A few other guys, there's a guy called Scott Rouse and Greg Hartley. They did a double act together, putting a very, very good online body language course called Body Language Tactics, I think it's called. And again, for the lockdowns, it was great because it gave you something to look at and do. These guys were fantastic. I mean, Greg Hartley is ex-military, okay, ex-US military, and Scott is working mainly with agencies and with law enforcement. Okay. Actually, Scott Rouse's background actually is music. He's from the music industry. And then one of the guys that I absolutely adore, his books are just phenomenal, and I recommend some of his books to anyone, is a guy called Chase Hughes. And again, he's ex-US Navy military side. And Chase Hughes has wrote a book, and it's the first time I think a book arrived through Amazon, okay, and I read it in a day. This whole thing, I couldn't put it down. It was just fascinating, this subject. And it's a book called The 6-Minute X-Ray. I mean, I don't mind promoting it. It's anybody that's interested in this subject, I recommend these four guys, definitely. But they were my mentors. They got me going because then suddenly I was thinking I could add this to Think to Win, because I think there's a more of a need for this non-verbal communication work than anything. Your nose, is it lying? No, it's a myth. It's just a myth, you know. Adapters, usually you see adapters when people are getting slightly stressed about something. It could be a scratch in the head, it could be that. It usually tends to be the hands, you know, with the fingers. But you know, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a lie there, or they're not telling the truth, or it's a deception of some sort. Not at all. The whole idea of it, and this is one of the things we start right at the beginning with these workshops, is baselining. Okay, so you've got to get to know that player. You've got to get to know him in a calm, relaxed environment. Okay, and if he is doing this and he's doing this, that's his baseline. But what you're looking out for is a deviance from that baseline. Okay, so when the baseline changes, then you have to filter in and say, has he really picked up my message? Or is he just behaving because he doesn't want to be dropped from the team or something, you know? So that's when, you know, we teach the coaches that type of thing, to look out when the baseline deviates, because that's what we really need to look at.
So,
I love the subject. Sorry, I could go on all night with this stuff. No worry.
so much value, and there's so many. I'm curious. I'm very curious to, I always ask questions, and I feel that I could ask, a few more, but I know we're up here on time.
Yeah.
But Bob, this has been amazing. I haven't had a conversation like this about body language yet, so this is the first one, and I really appreciate it. And I think it's extremely valuable for, for players to apply this. Coaches and everyday people as well, to their life. So, Bob, Again, thank you so much for taking the time for being on the What's Up Nation podcast today.
Brilliant. Well, Kieran, all I can say is thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it. I do get carried away with the subject, as you can probably tell. But for anybody that wants to get into this, it's just a fascinating subject, and it just takes us back millions and millions of years, really. Yes, the brain has evolved. Yes, technology is around today, but the human piece is still there. It's still there.
Absolutely. Well, I'll have Bob's LinkedIn information down below. Bob, for the viewers, how can they get in contact with you if they want to reach out?
Superb, superb. Yep. So what I can do, I've got my phone numbers. What I can do is file this over to you. The website is www.think2win, that's THINK, number2win.net. And my number here in Canada is just +1 for the US, obviously for the North America, 438-458-4890. And more than happy to take calls and more than happy to really help people. That's what we're here for, to help people.
Amazing. Well, guys, again, we'll have everything linked down in the description below for you guys to check out. Again, thank you, Bob, and take care.